This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, PSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
This is the show on KMOX. Chris Ranji, Amy Marks, of course, Kevin Wheeler here. You guys can find us on Twitter, at the show KMOX. All of our handles, our individual handles, are listed on there, as are the handles for our Instagram account and TikTok account, which have not posted anything yet. Just started them yesterday, so we're going to get that fired up here in the next couple of days. But it's all there, so you can just mark it all down, follow everything, connect. What do you say on Instagram? You follow people on Instagram? Is that what you do? Same as Twitter?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
What? I mean, it's social media.
Like something. I mean, everything's got a like or a follow.
Well, you got to follow it before you like it.
Okay.
And also, we are streaming the show. You can watch the show on the KMOX Facebook page. So if you are so inclined.
Facebook.com/KMOX1120.
Yeah.
It would also be a really good idea to download the Odyssey app.
Yep. You can listen that way anywhere in the world.
Wherever you are.
Yep. So
we had somebody from, I think, Texas or Florida.
Houston.
Houston.
Yep.
That's right.
Yeah. We had a listener from Antarctica who was a pretty... He lives there, I guess, when he's conducting research.
Oh, okay.
He's a pretty loyal listener. And the two ways that I listen the most are the Odyssey app and then also like the podcast if I miss a show. So you can always podcast the show. And 98.7, the FM.
There you go.
Oh, my God. It sounds
clear.
So good.
If you're like in the 40 corridor, really, in 270, holy cow, it's crystal clear.
So that's how you can get in touch with us, how you can listen to us. And obviously, we'll be including voicemails, texts, and all that as we go along, too. The Western music's playing. We're calling this High Noon. This is simply going to be a tool to kind of recap some of the big stories we've already hit on, look at some other news we haven't hit on yet. So obviously, we started early with thoughts on Memorial Day, not just the fun celebratory part, because, you know, we all know that there's this kind of interesting dynamic, right? Like, you spend the weekend barbecues and boating and doing all that, but there's also the serious element, too, and we hit on a little bit of that earlier, and there's one part, Amy, we didn't get to yet. You found the story that I thought was fascinating.
Yeah, and this was on KMOX Total Information AM this morning as well, that Jefferson Barracks is now scheduling 25 funerals a day because so many of our veterans are getting older, are passing away. And about 20 years ago, Jefferson Barracks usually had seven funerals a day. So, you know, every half an hour, they're doing these funerals. Both of my grandpas are in Jefferson Barracks. So my mom's dad fought in World War II, fought in the Pacific. He was the guy who would wear their uniforms. And then my dad's dad was in Korea.
It's great. You know, you think of the generations, right? I mean, we talked about it earlier, the younger siblings of people that were serving in World War II are in their 80s, 90s. I mean, if you were really young, you're in your 80s. I mean, we are talking about, you know, more than 80. I mean, in the start, from the beginning anyway, 80 years ago.
Yeah.
Or from the early years, I should say. So, you know, you have a lot of that. But even the generation that fought in Vietnam is getting into that age range where in the 70s and 80s. And that's, and when you think about the two of those generations basically combined, I think that's why you're seeing that rise in the number.
And, you know, Kevin, you brought up like World War II and all the World War II movies that are on and how we talk about those stories. There's also with Vietnam. So Jack Jackson was, he was a Missouri senator, a state senator. He fought in Vietnam. He was known as Mr. Harrier. So if you ever went to an air show in the 90s into the early 2000s, and there was
the hovering
Harrier,
aircraft.
The hovering aircraft. That was him.
Very loud, by the way.
Yes, he flew those. So he was Mr. Harrier. And he said, you know, when he fought in Vietnam, they were told that they had the whole support of the country. You know, he thought that America was behind him. And when he finally came home after being in Vietnam, he was getting off the plane and a guy in like a business suit shoved him and said, "Get out of my way, you SOB." And he said that was his first welcome back. And he was blindsided by what the narrative had been in the country.
You know, and we talked about this earlier with the visual being very important. And Kevin, you mentioned this a few segments ago. That's part of what turned people. Because we had all been, I think, as a society, and I wasn't around, obviously, for World War II. Really not for the Vietnam War either. But your assumption was, hey, everything that's going on over there is by the book, and it's all great. But then you see some things that maybe weren't. And we started to see images of dead bodies and then our own dead soldiers. And the public started to turn on a lot of those soldiers. I think I have this hypothesis that we have been trying to make up for that for the last 30 or so years. That we have really at least said the right things and put on a show for veterans and the soldiers, and we love you and thank you. I don't think we always treat them the best.
No, we need
as a country. And when they're done with their service, I don't think they get the kind of benefits they should get. But I think that we at least do the visual, like we put on the show and make it feel like, hey, we appreciate you and thank you so much for your
respect.
Service. Yes, there is.
I agree with you, by the way. I don't know. I mean, Amy,
I think you've been trying to make up for that for a long time.
You're a little bit younger, but you know that, I don't think enough to miss out on this dynamic, because it was not that way. You know, for people coming back from Vietnam, obviously it was horrible, right. And they were treated not by everybody, but it was a popular thing.
It was significant.
Yeah, it was a significant enough number that, you know, I think our reaction later on was, let's not do that anymore. That was terrible.
Right.
Like, I think there's a recognition that was a horrible thing to do to people that did not really have much of a say in anything that they were doing.
Right.
You know, I mean, when you're there, you're following, you're doing what you're told. I'm not going to get into I don't want to get in the weeds on all of that, but we understand now. And I think that started with probably the first Gulf War,
91,
which wasn't a full on conflict, but it started with people coming back from that. And then it continued, obviously, after 9/11, we became a lot more aware of doing that part better, of treating people better,
which is a good thing.
Yeah,
I don't. There's nothing else the public should do. But that is to at least let them know that they're appreciated. But if we really want to do something nice for them, we make sure they never have to pay a medical bill the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
We make sure they don't have
to get on the line. Like, and I'm not going to get into the details of it, but you know, and my dad is a Vietnam veteran. He was stationed in Thailand during that whole time, but he's been in a battle for a couple of years about some benefits, and it's just like constant runaround. Like, that needs to stop.
There should never be homelessness. I mean,
right.
the mental health, everything should be taken care of. They shouldn't worry about a damn thing instead of us just thanking them all the time.
Right.
Yeah, and I think I was going to bring up what you just said with the mental health, because what these guys and girls saw, and I even use the phrase like guys and girls because so many of them were young, 18, 19, 20 years old.
Yeah.
And we should have every resource available for our veterans to talk to them, to help them get out of the horrors of what they experienced. And, you know, Gulf War, Iraq, all of that. So many veterans, like, we praise them when they come back. But then if we walk away and don't help them recover from that, police officers, we need to have mental health available for police officers. I talked to a friend who is a retired police officer, and he said he wakes up in the middle of the night with nightmares of visions of what he saw, you know, walking into car accidents or murder scenes.
Mm-hmm.
We need to have that available for people.
And, you know, we also, related to that, it was a separate topic, but another thing we hit on earlier in the show as we're going through our bit of a mid-show recap was, you know, talking about the gun violence and no solutions. And there's always it's nothing but fighting, and there's never any willingness or ability to do something, because something is better than nothing, and it doesn't have to be perfect. Right. That old cliche. Don't let perfect be the enemy of good, or don't let perfect be the enemy of better.
Right.
And I think we're caught in that. But I threw out the theory, and you guys seem to agree, that it's because we act on things that we see. The Vietnam example, we saw the video, we saw the pictures that were coming back from there of our dead soldiers, of dead civilians, and it changed public opinion, and it ended up ending our occupation there, ended up ending our operations there. I shouldn't say occupation, we weren't there to stay. But then, and we see some of that, we saw that with 9/11, very visual. I mean, you watched it happen, and that led to immediate change, sweeping change. It led to a whole new branch. Well, a whole new agency, not a new branch of the government, but a new agency, the Department of Homeland Security. We showed that we can take significant action, but it's only when we see the tragedy, and we don't see, and I'm personally thankful that I've never seen the inside of those schools after the fact. I'm so happy that, and I mean, we've seen some of the grainy video from surveillance, like on Columbine, there was some of the surveillance video there. But nothing gruesome, really. I do think that the lack of the visual there is part of the stall, because people are not emotionally pushed by it. I mean, the people that are not directly affected by it.
And to take it a step further, I think we've behaved similarly with COVID. I think a lot of people did. We knew there were a lot of people dying, but it looked like it was okay for a lot of people. Well, it was just a cold. You're fine. And I made this point to you guys that if COVID made you bleed out of your eyes, our vaccination rate would be 100%.
Chris Ranji, Amy Marks, of course, Kevin Wheeler with you here. It's the show on KMOX. All right, back in on the show, Chris Ranji, Amy Marks, of course, Kevin Wheeler. And the reason I'm going in that order is because that's how we're sitting in the room clockwise. Like, if I'm going clockwise, Ranji is at 12 o'clock, Amy is at 3 o'clock, I'm basically at 6 o'clock, Dave is over there at 9 o'clock, and that's how my mind works.
I never
work in an orderly way. That's why I did that. So
don't change it up?
No, I probably will at some point, but not today. All right, so we actually just agreed on a new topic during the break, and I think it's a fascinating one because it's happening in real time with a story that broke just a little while ago. And I have some fun. This is what I do. I do not watch network TV news at all. I don't
because you don't hate yourself enough to
watch
cable news.
Any of the 24-hour news networks ever. I might find something linked that I will click on if I see it on social media, but I try to do most of it via reading because I think it's a less. To me, I get better detail that way. And I can look at a lot of different viewpoints in a very short amount of time doing it that way, right? I can click on all the different news sites, some international ones, a lot of local ones. So when I saw this story, I decided I was going to play headline roulette. That's how I look at it myself. Maybe we can make that the segment, headline roulette. So the story today is that Michael Sussman, who was a lawyer for the Clinton campaign, was acquitted on what were the charges specifically of basically tipping off the FBI.
Lying to the FBI.
Yeah, lying to the FBI, giving them information about Trump and Russia and all that. So the story was, the actual story, this is what happened. He was acquitted on the charges. So I thought, let's see what the headlines look like on various news sources. So on CNN.com, headline is, Clinton lawyer who passed a tip to the FBI about Trump and Russia, acquitted. How would you guys grade the accuracy of that? Fairly?
I feel like it's pretty objective.
Seems right down the middle.
Seems like it. Okay. The MSNBC one is former Clinton campaign lawyer acquitted of lying to FBI, a blow to the Durham probe. So we all know that there's a special investigator who is looking into the people's actions, maybe the Democratic Party side of the way they tried to frame the Trump-Russia story. That's what the investigation. So there's clearly some kind of political slant in that headline, right? I mean, you're saying this is a blow to this probe that is looking into this topic, even though it may or may not be a blow to it. It's just, to me, in a headline, that's
'cause it goes
beyond
fact,
the story.
Fact analysis.
Right. Okay, so then the other headline I looked at was Fox News, and the headline there is, ex-Clinton campaign lawyer accused of lying to the FBI in the Trump-Russia case learns his fate. So clearly something was left out there.
Right.
So you guys, having seen those three headlines, to me, this is why we are in the place that we are in. Because depending on who clicks on which news story, And there are others, too. You can click on Reuters and AP, and you can look at, you know, other international sources. You can look at, what was the one you were just looking
BBC.
At BBC. You can, there are a lot of ways you could get this information. Unfortunately, so many people.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
Well, we'll only go to their source. And a lot of times you don't even click the story, you just read the headline.
Well, and these are the three main cable
networks.
That's
why I chose them, yes.
That people yes. are paying attention to, where the majority of people are getting their news.
Yeah.
Obviously, I prefer the CNN headline. Because it tells you, yes, it tells you exactly what's happening. It has not analyzed. I think it's okay in certain cases if a politician or whatever has outright lied, the headline can say so-and-so lies about this. I'm okay with that because that's the reality. That's the
truth. As long as that's a provable fact.
Yes. Right. Yeah.
I wouldn't even say he lies. Like, I would use the legal term.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, if you're convicted of this or if you are, you know, you committed perjury.
Oh, no. I was talking about, like, just in general, it's something completely different. If a politician does outright lie about something, I think it's okay to put that in the headline just to be clear to people what's happening. But in this case, Clinton lawyer who passed the tip to the FBI about Trump and Russia acquitted. That's the way it should be. Like, that's the way you should write that.
That's how, now, to me, that's how the headline should be.
Yes.
There should not be editorializing in a news headline. You want to editorialize with an editorial, go right ahead. Do it in the body of a story, provide the context, the backup for your position. I don't really have a problem with that, but if you're doing that in the headline, You're doing that for a reason.
Yeah, and also make it clear it's an editorial.
Yes.
Make it clear that this is not a news story. This is commentary that we're bringing to you.
Right.
But I think a lot of people have blurred the lines, both the consumers, who they think that Tucker Carlson or Rachel Maddow are reporters. They're not reporters.
No.
They're talking heads. They're talking about what the reporters are bringing to them, because reporters are so vital to the function of democracy. And you think of people like Clarissa Ward. She's on the ground. She was on the ground in Ukraine or on the ground in Afghanistan. She is a very different person. And her job is very different than Tucker Carlson and Rachel Maddow. But I think both consumers mix up editorializing and facts, but also some writers / journalists do. And I think some of that comes from the advent of social media, because you have blue check marks for the New York Times or the Washington Post, and they give commentary on their social media, like Twitter. And because of the blue check mark and the association with, like, the New York Times, these legacy media outlets, they have the credibility and the validation of the gatekeepers, but they get to skirt the gatekeepers because their Twitter is not going through the editors at the Wall Street Journal or the New York Times.
I see that, but I don't think that's the same thing as an outlet writing a headline in a certain way to make you think something.
And a lot of times
that's different.
The writer or the journalist doesn't always write the headline.
No, they generally don't.
They usually don't.
In fact, I would say it's very rare that they do.
Right.
And sometimes they're like, that's not the point of my story.
Yeah, that happens a lot.
I didn't write this headline.
Yep. Yeah, and these stories, these would be, I bet if you clicked on the stories, they're probably all the same wire service. They're probably all Reuters or AP stories that are just the same copy that everybody that subscribes to that service gets. I did not click through them all because I thought the headline part was the story.
Was the important part.
Because I think, and that is the issue. Then we throw in the fact that we should share in the blame because we don't click. We just, so many people just read the headline. And I think you make a good point, Amy, at least as far as how people consume things on Twitter. I think we should all start with the assumption that what you see on Twitter is an opinion.
Yeah.
Start with that and then work backward. Because if you see, whether it's the blue check mark or somebody sending a link to something that sounds over the top, assume that what you're getting on social media is either an opinion or it's trying to sway you in some way. And then when you work backward from that, you can find out, oh, no, that's actually a real story. Oh, okay, that was reported. This is known. This was actually a verdict versus this was a story about something that your uncle told somebody else. And I think that we are not good enough at distinguishing between what's in the story and what's in the headline because we're too lazy to do it.
And I agree with you. I also believe, though, that sometimes if a story is complicated or incredibly important, I think it is okay for a reporter in that instance to give you the facts, but then tell you what the facts mean. But what bothers me about the headline thing is having somebody go, okay, here's the story. How can I make this sound less bad? Because it's
sound worse.
Or worse.
Yeah, like, how do I make it sound worse for the person I hate or our side hates? Mm. That is so bothersome to me.
All right, time for some Cardinals news. When we come back, we are your home for the Cardinals on KMOX. And here on the show, we will be a good spot for your Cardinals talk. We get to some baseball next up here on KMOX. All right, back in on your home for the Cardinals, KMOX. It is the show. I'm going to change the order. Amy Marks, of course, Chris Ranji, Kevin Wheeler with you here. Every day at this time will be something related to the Cardinals. And we'll have it other times, too. It just depends on the newsworthiness of it, on what else is breaking in the day. But we will always be doing baseball here at this time of day. Sometimes it'll be guests. Sometimes it'll just be us. Today, it's just us talking about the team. And I thought I would bring to you guys what I touched on briefly last night on Sports Open Line. I did it for just a couple of minutes. And that is kind of, I don't want to say a report card because we're not going to get that detailed, but just your vibe, your general feel of where the team is at the first mile marker of the season, right? I mean, we always look at Memorial Day. I shouldn't say we. A lot of people like Memorial Day as the first evaluation period. Our buddy Mike Claiborne likes Flag Day. Until I met Claibs, I didn't even know what Flag Day was or where
Flag
it was
Day
on the calendar.
A great day. June 14th?
Yeah, I didn't know that. I didn't know that
we
until
used to
I
have
met Claibs.
Just a Flag Day bar crawl. That's it. That's the
nice.
End of the story. But
that's
we would all
story.
Dress up in very patriotic things and sing songs and walk all over Lafayette Square.
Yeah, and Flag Day is a good day to do that, too. It's a little more of information and things. You get another couple of weeks. I've always gone, I don't know about you, Ranj, I've always gone by Memorial Day. So the way I put this last night when I was talking about the Cards is what they've been so far is fine. They're good. They're good. They're the second wild card team in the National League. Now, I think I believe that they should be a contender for the division. I thought before the year, with reasonably good health, they should be a 95-win team, somewhere in that range, 94, 95, 96, whatever. They're a little short of that pace right now. I think they're on pace for 92 after yesterday. It's 91 or 92. But we're also at a time of year where a two-game winning streak bumps you up to the pace where you're supposed to be. So what do you think? I mean, is that kind of the assessment? Like, there are problems. There are things that they're working through. We've talked about a lot of those. But I think the general consensus to me is they're fine.
Yeah, this is about what I expected them to be. The pitching has not been where it needs to be, obviously, and they've dealt with injuries. But a lot of teams, especially on the pitching side, have dealt with injuries so far this year. So it's not exclusive to the Cardinals. They're a good offensive team. I expected them to be that. I expected them to score runs. I think what's interesting, though, about this season is they're not as good defensively as I thought they would be. Last year and the last several years, actually, they have prided themselves and been very good at least not making mistakes, at least being a better defensive team. And I'm not saying they're a bad defensive team, but I don't think they're as sharp as they typically are.
Was it 5 gold glovers?
Last year,
5 gold glovers.
Which isn't always the best measure of whether or not a team is good, because you've got people voting on it, and it doesn't necessarily mean that in terms of the metrics, they're good. But if you got 5 gold glovers, the likelihood is you're a pretty good defensive team. So they were, and they have been. And that's one of the things that I use this team as an example a lot, because I don't know, for whatever reason, they stick in my mind. But the mid-2000s Twins, they had some really good players on that team. But one of the things they did super well was not beat themselves. And the Cardinals historically, at least in recent history, have not beat themselves. And there are times this year where it seems like it's happening more than usual. So I think that's, and again, I don't think it's alarming necessarily. I think there are a lot of teams out there in a much worse position as far as defense goes. But I'd like to see them clean that up a little bit, especially
if the,
they should be and usually are like a top 5 or so defensive team in baseball. And that's kind of where you expect them to be. They're not there. And maybe that would help put them over the top, especially with the way the pitching has not been as good as expected.
This is the kind of the way that I would put all of this. It falls into one category, and it's mostly consistency. Because when you look at the totals, and I'm not going to bother people with the numbers crunching, but when you look at the totals, they're actually pretty good. Like, the offense actually ranks in the top 10.
Yeah, the offense is right there.
But it's inconsistent, so it's misleading, because it's been 18 runs one day, and then 3 days after that, none.
Yeah.
And the problem is that, you know, you only get one win out of that. you know, if you have 18 on one day, and let's say you score 2 in each of the next 3 games. Well, you look at the numbers, it's 24 runs in 4 games. That's 6 runs a game. That's pretty good. But you don't win those other 3 games. You typically don't win unless you score 4 runs or more. So for the team, it's not about the quality of what they have. It's not about the abilities. It's about the consistency of it. Can you level off? Can we avoid? And let's be honest, some of it with the starting pitching that's been a little problem, a lot of it's about Jordan Hicks struggling in that role and his inability to get deep into games, which gets you into the bullpen earlier. This is something that Ollie Marmol talks about a lot. You don't want to be putting too much on the bullpen and then have guys that can't throw. So today, for example, is going to be a little tougher because of the structure of yesterday. You only went 2 1/3 with Packy Naughton, or 2 2/3, and then you had 3 1/3 out of Palante, and you had to use the bullpen. Everybody got stretched out a little bit in the bullpen to get the victory yesterday because it was a close game. And
no Jack Flaherty.
Right.
Who's going to see some batters tomorrow, right?
Sounds like it. I mean, he's already thrown bullpens. He's going to be facing, I think he's already faced live hitters once. So he's getting back, but we're still talking weeks. We're not talking about like next week coming back to the rotation. You'll be thinking about probably 2 weeks-ish once he's on a rehab assignment. So once you see him go out, you're probably looking at between 2 and 3 weeks, because you're going to need at this point at least 2 or 3 starts to get to the point where you can, you know, throw the 85, 90 pitches you're going to want a starter to throw and not have to worry about it.
Do you feel like the Cardinals, like you said, they're fine. They've had some inconsistencies. But from a fan's standpoint, yes, the Cardinals are fine, but they've also been kind of interesting. Like, there have been moments that have caught people's attention.
Oh, yeah.
Like Pujols pitching or Molina pitching or Goldschmidt being hot or Nolan Gorman. There have been moments that I feel like have popped out this season for being relatively early. It's not like, oh, they're fine and nothing's happening.
You got a guy who's an MVP.
Yeah.
He's playing like one.
Yeah.
And that's why you got him in the first place.
Right.
So that stands out. Just about anything Albert does is going to stand out. But having him pitch and having Molina pitch. And we've talked about this, Kevin, when you and I were doing Sports Open Line a few times, about whether or not the position player pitching thing is dull or it needs to be stopped because it's an epidemic. It's happening. Teams are using their position players because they don't want to burn pitchers in blowouts, which I get. And I feel like I'm sort of over the novelty until Albert did it. Until Albert and then Molina, even though neither of them did well, it was just still kind of fun to watch that happen.
So it was. Okay, Glover brought this up, and I think he brought it up with Ricky Horton, and I thought it was such a great point. He said when you're watching Molina pitch or you're watching Pujols pitch, it felt kind of like your little league days when everybody takes turn pitching and plays the different positions. And Ricky had said, wow, I hadn't thought of it that way. I think injecting fun into Major League Baseball, or keeping the fun, because don't you feel like MLB can be a little serious? Like, no one can have fun without the express written consent of Major League Baseball.
Yes.
But injecting moments of fun. And I know the position players pitching is a thing, and it's always been a thing. But I think the more you have personality and the more you have fun, that brings people in.
The problem here is that kind of thing is great for, you know, your average Joe fan that goes to a few games a year and all that. The diehard people that are constantly mad about things, they don't care about that stuff.
But that's not who Major League Baseball is trying to get.
No, right. but you have them. And there are different elements to the fan base. Like, there are the diehards that only want to see wins, that don't want to even talk to you unless you're talking about trying to make a run at the World Series. And then there are the fans that, hey, like, I just want to have fun, man. I want to go to a game. I want to enjoy it. I want to have a good time. The team's got a chance to win because they're pretty good. Healthy.
From a business perspective and a growth of the sport perspective, the most important fan base or section of the fan base is the casual fan.
Yes, 100%.
But I mean, and nothing against y'all diehards, but you're coming back anyway. And the teams, Major League Baseball, knows it. So they're trying to appeal to the casuals, which I get, because that's how you grow the sport. That's how you get most of your revenue. Most people are not diehards. You're right there in that. I like it. I'm not going to live and die by it tonight.
Yeah, a lot more on the Cardinals to come in the future days. Whenever it pops up, obviously we're going to do it at 12:30 every single day, but other times it'll be there as well. Up next, we're going to see what's trending around the globe in St. Louis, in the state of Missouri. That's next up on the show on KMOX.
What is it? What's happened?
What's going on? What do you know?
What just happened?
What happened?
I need to know.
Trending now on the show.
All right, Kevin, Amy, and Chris on the show here on KMOX. This is where we do Trending Now. It's just a quick look, a couple times a show, at stories that are trending locally, that are trending statewide, that are national. Sometimes they're serious, sometimes they're sports, sometimes they're entertainment. Like, we talked to Obi-Wan Kenobi last time. So we're going
to talk to him.
No,
that's what I thought you said.
No, no. I said about.
Do you think we could get Ewan on the show?
Ewan McGregor? I got friends, so I'll call people.
Have friends. Whenever I ask a question to Kevin, he's like, whoa.
I got a friend.
I know a guy.
I do. I know a bunch of guys, and a lot of women too. Like the whole thing. Like it's a network.
See if you can get us Ewan McGregor.
Okay.
Natalie Portman.
Okay.
One of those two. Yeah. We don't need Hayden Christensen. Unnecessary.
I could easily get Hayden Christensen. Nah, I don't know. I have no idea.
He's looking for work.
Yeah. Okay. All right, so we got a number of different angles here.
Work.
Some things that are trending locally. Amy, you saw a local story today that.
Yeah.
Seems like it hit home with you.
Yeah, it's a bit more serious. I don't know if you guys heard about the hiker in Wildwood who went missing on May 23rd. She was a 72-year-old woman who went hiking. Now, this is like around that Al Foster Trail, and there's the Al Foster Trailhead. Any hikers, walkers, runners, bikers, they all know that area. It's an incredible trail system. We were just talking about the Zombie East, Zombie West trails. And But it's also not a huge park, like Yellowstone or something, where you could truly, truly get lost. And so so much concern for this hiker who did go missing since May 23rd. They were able to ID her body. I think they have to officially ID it with the medical examiner's office. But she was found down the Merrimack River, which flows alongside the Al Foster Trail in Castlewood, about 30 miles from the trailhead where she parked, down near Arnold.
Wow. Yeah.
So we don't know what happened. We don't.
Is that... Okay, so you're out there a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Is it the kind of thing that if you were alone, you've got to be very careful? Like, is it that dangerous?
No, that's what's interesting. Now, Castlewood State Park, if you hike some of the trails that go up on the bluffs, there are areas where, I mean, you could fall off of the bluff, but you wouldn't be in the river. You would land on, you know, rocks beneath you. And then with the Al Foster Trail and those paths, you actually have to walk down an embankment to a beach. The river, you wouldn't fall off the trail into the river. That's what's kind of interesting.
Yeah. That's a horrible story.
It's really sad.
Yeah.
But I think the good news is there's closure in the sense that they believe they found the body. I mean, I think they did assume the worst by this point.
Yeah.
So,
Sad for the family there. Raj, we got anything else trending that's getting your attention?
What was the other thing? Amy, we were just talking about it, and I've asked her twice. What was the thing we were going to talk about, and I've totally forgotten?
All right, well, I got one.
What is it? That she can't remember either.
I'll tell you what.
Good Lord.
Since I clicked on... Because what we're doing is looking at what's trending in the news, what's trending on Twitter. So when you click on news under the trending section, one of them is the one that we were going to get to, and that is the Mona Lisa story.
Ah, that was it. Yep. Yeah. That was it.
So tell everybody about it, Ranj. Explain.
Well, I would actually
Mona Lisa story.
I'd actually rather have Amy do this.
Please do, because
this is just so funny.
So a man disguised himself as an elderly woman in a wheelchair at the Louvre. And you would think, why would he disguise himself as an elderly woman in the wheelchair? Well, he knew the Louvre's policies for those who are in wheelchairs or who may be disabled in a way, and he would get prime viewing of the Mona Lisa. Once he got the prime position in the Louvre near the Mona Lisa, he threw a pastry at the picture and smeared cake and pastry cream all over the Mona Lisa glass. And as he did so, he yelled in French, "Think about the earth." Apparently, he was trying to raise awareness for climate change as he was being escorted away by security.
Which, I'm totally down with that. I think there should be awareness to it. That's not the first way. Well, I mean, why don't you smear cake? Oh, I guess that would be assault. I was going to say smear cake over somebody who refuses to do anything about climate change and has the ability to at least help. But I think that's battery. I don't think you're allowed to smear cake on people. I love the quote from one of the people who was there. It was a student at a Kansas community college. And she said, "I was in awe." Like she's in awe of watching this dude smear a pastry all over. The painting is fine, by the way, because it's protected by glass.
Why did he need to be an elderly woman? If he had been in the wheelchair, because they were using the wheelchair rules to get him that prime position in front of the Mona Lisa, why did he also have to be an elderly woman?
Well, I mean, there's a hierarchy of people you deem to be dangerous. Like, dudes in a wheelchair, far more dangerous than women in a wheelchair, I guess.
Nothing like undermining the greater message that you would like to send by doing something this ridiculously stupid. Like, you want to raise awareness, and nobody's going to be talking about what your cause is. They're talking about what an idiot you are.
I do feel like sometimes, though, when it's a really bizarre story, it generally is a climate change activist. Have you noticed that?
I'm not going to say that is not true, but I feel like there are a lot of bizarre stories that don't involve that.
Set himself on fire in front of the Supreme Court a few months ago?
Yeah. What about
I'm not saying the most damaging. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying kind of like unique ways.
How about the PETA people who are gluing themselves to like the Dallas Mavericks floor and the Starbucks counter?
That was for the prices of the oat milk or something.
The James Cromwell, the president in every movie ever.
Yeah. He's in Succession too.
Yeah, his he was angry. He and his, I guess, I don't know, are they his followers? Are they Cromwellites?
I don't know.
They're mad that you actually have to pay more for something that costs more.
I do think that's a PETA thing, I believe. It's an animal rights thing because they want you to consume less milk.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So why make oat milk more expensive than regular
milk?
I don't know, man. I'm not the one gluing myself.
This is like the argument of going to the automotive companies and like your electric cars should be the same or less expensive than the ones we want because we got to get. I mean, okay, fine, wonderful. But if you're asking a company to provide you something that costs them more, you're going to pay that difference.
And I'm not saying the most damaging or dangerous. I'm just saying the most creative.
You're saying that with air quotes.
Well, I mean, a pastry at the Mona Lisa.
It is kind of creative to glue yourself to things.
It's dumb. Hang tight. Show continues after the news.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.